I mentioned the other factor that's important is whether the company monitors or doesn't monitor. Again, compare two cases. High-tech employee antitrust litigation, the company policy expressly reserved the right to monitor and retrieve information stored or transmitted on its electronic devices, computers, and systems. And despite that, the communications were held to be privileged. And here's what the court said. As other courts have recognized, a company's failure to actually monitor employees' emails or to have an explicit policy of monitoring them may suggest to the employees that their emails remain confidential. Compare that to Centennial Bank. Emails, in this case, were sent by the then CEO of the bank and his attorney from the CEO's work account. The bank policy permitted employees' emails to be monitored, but the bank had never done so. In fact, the now ex-CEO testified, "I've never instructed anyone to monitor an employee's emails." Court held his emails were not privileged. Because the policy warned that all communications are subject to monitoring, his subjective belief about whether they monitored was unreasonable, and he had no reasonable expectation of privacy. So his communications were held not to be privileged. Now, a lot of these cases talk about what happens in terms of whether or not there was not whether the communications was privileged from the beginning, but whether or not the person waived the privilege. And usually that's analytically wrong. Typically, it doesn't make any difference. But in order to waive a privilege, you have to have a privilege first. So if you look at the Texas rule on waiver, you notice it says, a person upon whom these rules confer a privilege waives the privilege. You have to have a privilege first. The attorney-client privilege, of course, depends on whether the communication was confidential at the outset. So if the communication is not confidential at the outset, it's not privileged, and therefore you can never waive the privilege. Again, most of the time this doesn't make a difference, but I want to show you a case that does illustrate the problem. I don't know if any of you heard about this case. This was a case between Waymo, which is Google's self-driving car division, and Uber. Waymo claimed that Uber had hired a former high-ranking person in Waymo and stolen its intellectual property. And at one point, there was a privilege issue. Uber was claiming that communications between its then CEO, Travis Kalanick, and its litigation counsel were not privileged. And Waymo was claiming the communications were privileged. And that might seem a little bit puzzling to you. Why is Uber claiming that communications between its CEO and its lawyer are not privileged, and its adversary is claiming they were privileged? Well, here's the reason. It's because, Kalanick had discussed some of these conversations during the course of a deposition. And so Waymo came in and said, look, you waived the privilege by discussing these during the course of your deposition. And notice, waiver doesn't just apply to the communications that you disclosed. The rule talks about disclosing a significant part of the communications. And so Waymo was coming in and saying, look, you disclosed some of the communications. We're entitled to disclosure of all related communications. Because you disclosed a significant part, we're entitled to the whole. And so they're saying it was privileged. Therefore, you waived it. Therefore, we get other stuff you did not disclose that was privileged previously. And that's why Uber was coming and saying, no, we never had a privilege. And so when he disclosed these communications, he didn't waive anything, and you're not entitled to the other communications. The judge said they were privileged at the outset and that Kalanick waived the privilege by disclosing them, and Waymo was entitled to other previously privileged material. So there's an example of where the doctrine makes a difference. And I want to talk about two other waiver cases because they should send a shiver down your spine. First one is called Avental Learning. Aventa's founders sold their asset to a company called KCDL, which was this subsidiary of KCL or KLC. In any event, they both became vice presidents at KCDL. They transferred pre-existing privileged communications that they had had to their KCDL laptops. They continued to use their KCDL laptops to communicate with their personal attorney. But here was the company policy. Resources used for electronic communications should generally be used only for KLC business. And the policy reserved the company's right to access, search, or disclose any filed or stored communications. Perhaps not surprisingly, the communications they continued to make with their attorney using their company laptop were held not to be privileged.